The makers of Royal Desserts present Mary Pickford and Company. Tonight's play, The Church Mouse. This is a great moment in radio history. We are bringing to the microphone tonight the best-known woman in the world. Her charming, familiar face has flashed on screens in every city and town in America and in Europe, in China and in Japan. She is a friend through her pictures to millions of men, women, and children whom she has never seen. We take pride in presenting Mary Pickford for her first radio series. She will appear each week at this time as the star of some well-known play, a play of real dramatic interest which has been tried and found successful on the stage. For her first appearance tonight, she has chosen the romantic comedy, A Church Mouse. In it, she will play the part of Susie Wayne, a girl whose honesty and sweet charm win for her first a job, and later, something even more important. She will be assisted by the following members of her company, who will appear in the order named: Mr. Gail Gordon as Skylar Thompson, Miss Jeanette Nolan, Mr. Theodore Osborne, Mr. James Eagles, and Mr. Crawford Kent. But before we begin the play, I want Mary Pickford to speak to you as herself. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor and a privilege to welcome to our studio, on behalf of the radio listeners of the world, Mary Pickford.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying something new tonight. Just as I tried something new when I made my first picture. I hope it will be a success. May I thank all of you who've been my loyal friends for the support you've given me in my work. And I do hope you'll like me on the air.
This program is sponsored by the makers of Royal Desserts. When you dip your spoon into a colorful, sparkling strawberry gelatin dessert, you expect to taste the flavor of strawberries. And what a disappointment if you find it flat and insipid, with no strawberry flavor at all. But that's just what happens when gelatin is allowed to get shelf stale. You see, the flavor of gelatin evaporates when the gelatin gets stale. Stale strawberry gelatin loses its flavor, just as fresh strawberries do when they become stale. After a package of gelatin has been sitting on the grocer's shelf for a long time, the flavor is almost gone. That's why Royal Gelatin is handled as a perishable food. It's rushed to grocers fresh by the same rapid delivery system that carries Fleischmann's fresh yeast and Chasen Sanborn's dated coffee. Royal has no chance to get shelf stale. When you buy Royal Strawberry Gelatin, it really tastes like delicious fresh strawberries. And the other Royal flavors are just as full-bodied and true to the fruit. Lemon, lime, orange, cherry, raspberry, or pineapple. Try Royal Gelatin tomorrow.
Wall Street. Skylar Thompson has made himself president of a big international banking firm at the age of 35. But though he has a genius for finance, Skylar is also human and has human weaknesses. In fact, he's so human that this morning he's had to dismiss his pretty secretary, Dolly Fry, simply because she distracts him from his work. Girls like you are for the evening, he tells Dolly. They've no place in a bank. No more women in my office from now on. So Dolly gets 6 months' salary, Skylar gets her telephone number, and settles down to work. But after about an hour, the door behind him swings noiselessly open and a tiny girl, pale, shabbily dressed and looking thoroughly frightened, squeezes into the room like a mouse. She tiptoes to Skylar's desk, waits for him to look up, and finally, she speaks.
Good morning. May I...
Who are you?
How
did you get in here?
I waited until the man at the door turned his back for a second, and then I slid through.
Why do you want to see me?
Because you're the president of the bank. You are, aren't you? You're Mr. Skylar Thompson?
Yes, I am. And who are you?
Susie Wayne. Oh, just nobody at all. But I had to see you. May I sit down?
Yes, but be brief.
I'm a stenographer. I want a position.
What?
Please give me a job.
I'm sorry, but you've come to the wrong place. I discharged my secretary this morning, and I intend to engage a man. That's all.
You mean that I'm to go?
Certainly I do. You've already taken up a great deal of my time.
I know, and I'm very sorry for that. But I'm not going.
What?
Oh, I couldn't give up so easily. It would be cowardly. I might cry and try to work on your feelings, but I won't cry. Why, this very morning, the President of the United States is holding an investigation of my affairs.
An investigation of your affairs?
Yes.
What do you mean?
See, here it is, in the Times. An investigation of the problems of the unemployed. I'm that problem. I am the unemployed.
Yes, I suppose you are.
But if the President doesn't solve my problem by noon, we won't have anything to eat today and nothing tonight or tomorrow morning either.
Why, that's unbelievable.
Why should you be surprised? I've already told you I'm poor. Why, I'm as poor as a church mouse.
Are you serious when you tell me you're often hungry?
Hungry? Oh, that doesn't describe it. I belong to the poor who press their noses against windows. You've seen girls look in windows, haven't you?
Yes, that jewelry.
Well, I'm a delicatessen looker. I flatten my nose against the show windows and imagine I'm eating the delicious articles of food.
Why, you poor child.
For lunch, I look at frankfurters and potato salad. And then comes dinner.
Dinner?
But dinner's not so simple. I take a sardine and divide it.
You divide a sardine?
Mm-hmm. The tail is the appetizer. While I eat that, I look at trout and salmon. And then I turn my attention to the roast beef or to the fried chicken. In the meantime, I've eaten 2/3 of a sardine. I divide the rest into small bits, a little fruit and a little cheese.
And you want to work?
Work? Oh, I'll say I do. Look, Mr. Thompson, there's an empty table and a wonderful typewriter. Oh, it's such a temptation. Let me sit down and use it. You won't be sorry, because once I get hold of a machine like this, the work will fly. Dictate to me. Oh, please dictate to me.
Well, all right. Take this. Directors, General Oil Importing Company, Vienna. Gentlemen, at this time, I can inform
you... Faster, please.
...that the negotiations with the various European oil concerns...
Faster, yes.
...have been so successful as to practically assure my great project. After the fulfillment of the usual legal requirements...
Faster, much, much faster.
This transaction, which we consider of the greatest importance to the industry, can be completed on the 24th of this month in the city of Paris. Very truly yours.
Done. Yes.
Well, Emma...
Hello? Yes? This is the office of the president. You would like to speak to Mr. Schuyler Thompson personally? Oh, I'm sorry, but Mr. Thompson's not in just now.
What? You told him I wasn't in?
It was the safest thing to say.
And may I ask how you presumed to reach that conclusion?
It was a woman's voice.
Huh? Remarkable.
Now, Mr. Thompson, isn't it time to sign your mail?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We'd better get that done.
Hello? Oh, yes. Just a minute. Did you speak to Mr. Frank Thompson?
Oh, my brother. Yes. I'm to have lunch with him. Hello, Frank. Yes, I'll be right with you.
Mr. Thompson.
This young lady here won't let me go till I've signed my mail. She's a human dynamo. No, she's not Miss Fry, of course not. The young lady who answered the telephone is, my new secretary.
Oh.
Yes, I'll be right up.
Oh, you mean it? You're going to let me?
Well, that's taken for granted.
Oh, that's marvelous.
But I wonder if you'd mind, just for today, if I had lunch first and signed the mail afterwards?
Well, all right, but just for today.
Thank you. Well, I'll see you later, Miss Wayne. Oh, I almost forgot. How could I have overlooked such an important matter? Miss Wayne, I'm pleased to hand you a $10 advance on your salary.
Oh, Mr. Thompson. Oh, you're so kind. Well, I wonder if I may...
Well, what is it?
I would like to make a very important telephone call.
Oh, go right ahead. I'll leave you to yourself.
Oh, but I didn't mean that. It's not so very private, you see. Atlantic. 11751, please.
Sure this isn't personal?
Oh, no, you see. Hello? The 50 Market? Mr. Marks? Uh-huh. Well, this is Susie Wayne. Yeah. Listen, will you please send some things up to my mother at once? £5 of flour, and £5 of sugar, £1 of coffee at a desk, and 6 eggs, a dozen eggs, and £2 of butter, £1. I mustn't spend too much.
The salary will be $30.
$30? 6 cans of sardines. Yeah, uh-huh. And a half a pound of chocolate and a few frankfurters. The big ones? Well, I...
Yes, yes, the biggest.
Yes, yes, the biggest. And would you kindly tell my mother to get dinner ready? What? Oh, no. I couldn't afford a chicken.
I was wrong. I mean, the salary will be $40.
Yes, Mr. Marks. Yes, a chicken. A big one. A fat one. And please tell my mother that I have a job. A wonderful job. And tonight she shall have dinner. And what a dinner. Tell her to cook everything. I want it all at once. And, oh, Mr. Marks, I just got a wonderful job. A wonderful job.
Three weeks have passed, and Susie got her job, and Schuyler Thompson's business has taken him with the efficient Susie to Paris, where he's trying to negotiate a big oil merger. But Dolly Fry, Schuyler's former secretary, is also in Paris and has been trying to see him. She finally calls in person at the luxurious hotel suite, which serves Schuyler and his office staff for both business and living quarters in Paris.
Is this Mr. Schuyler Thompson's suite?
Yes. What is it you wish? I'm his secretary.
My name is Dolly Fry. I want to see Mr. Thompson.
Did you have an appointment?
No.
Oh, well, Mr. Thompson never sees anyone without an appointment.
My dear, I know all those answers so well. You see, I used to be Mr. Thompson's secretary myself.
You?
Mm-hmm. Tell me, not officially, when do you expect Mr. Thompson?
Unofficially and truthfully and finally, I haven't the slightest idea.
Listen, I've left my number with you half a dozen times. And
Mr. Thompson is here on business. He has no time for women. I know what you want. You want to come back to the bank.
Oh, you're wrong, my dear. The bank wants to come back to me.
Oh, you talk about Mr. Thompson as if he were a clerk.
As if you knew what kind of a man he is. You have an idea he's all brain and business. Don't you think his heart beats faster when I lean against him by accident?
By accident?
By intentional accident. And how men love it.
Really?
Do they? It's like this. A quick movement. You brush against him. You pull back. You say, oh, pardon me. He murmurs something.
I wonder.
The air is charged with electricity. He struggles for his self-control. And just as he almost has it,
yes?
You start all over again. Then his arms begin to ache to hold you. They steal around you. And if you're a smart girl, you say, no, you mustn't.
And then he stops?
Stop. Of course he doesn't stop. He goes on. He pulls you closer. You struggle, but not much.
And what does he say?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't care. His arms tighten. You get dizzy. His eyes look into yours.
Oh, his eyes.
His lips come closer.
His lips.
Your eyelashes flutter down.
You see nothing.
All you know is the wonderful strength of his embrace.
And then?
He kisses.
Oh, how you tell it. I almost lived it.
You? You never will. Oh, of course, you're not bad looking yourself. Only I'm afraid you're just a machine, my dear.
Well, even that would be better than to be like you. All you think of is lovemaking.
That might be enough for him.
I suppose you'll win, but it won't last. Even if you get him, you can't hold him.
You think you could?
I've never tried. I wouldn't want to like that.
Why don't you? It'd probably amuse him. Well, I must be running along now. Will you promise to tell Mr. Thompson I called?
I have my orders to use my own judgment about visitors and to keep any undesirable ones away.
What a child you are. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
But when Schuyler Thompson comes in, Susie does not tell him about Dolly. He has completed his merger. And in the excitement of taking charge of everything, Susie forgets Dolly completely. But the undiscourageable Dolly finally gets Schuyler on the telephone. He is delighted to hear from her and correspondingly angry with Susie for keeping them apart. I will always see Miss Fry, he tells Susie. I'm going to see her at 9 o'clock this evening. In the future, I wish you would let old Mr. Jackson handle my appointments. But when Schuyler sees how his little secretary is crushed by this ultimatum, He relents a little and tells her he has planned a party for her. His brother Frank and Major Dunbar, an old family friend, are to call for her and take her out to show her Paris. And so Susie hurries to her room to dress in a Paris evening gown and then hurries out to the office to try its effect on Mr. Jackson, Schuyler's confidential clerk, who is still busy at his desk.
Ooh, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Susie.
Aren't you going to look at my new dress?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Why, Susie, how lovely you... Why, you look just like a princess.
And not a machine? Thank you, Mr. Jackson. That was just what I needed.
Susie, what are we going to do with all the people who want to call on Mr. Thompson and congratulate him on his merger? Some of them are very important, and they're waiting already. The Count von Paulsberg and Monsieur Pichon and Monsieur Kinsley.
Well, Mr. Thompson told me very specially that he doesn't want people kept away from him, and that you were to make his appointment.
Yes, yes, I know. But he's going out this evening, isn't he?
I believe he has one engagement. Oh, but surely nothing as important as these gentlemen. Why don't you arrange it like this? The Count von Waldberg at 8:30, Monsieur Pichon, Monsieur Clichy at 9 o'clock.
At 9.
Mm-hmm. And the gentleman of the press at 9:30, the committee from the Bourse at 10, and so on is requested until 11.
But the Minister of Finance also wishes an hour.
Oh, by all means. From 11 until 12.
Of course. I'll make the arrangements.
Be sure that you do. Oh, Mr. Jackson, I feel just like going out.
Eh?
I feel so much happier now that Mr. Thompson's evening is so beautifully planned.
Yes, well, I expect I'd better go and see the hotel manager about showing these people up to the office. Yes.
That must be Mr. Frank to take me to dinner. Will you see Mr. Jackson?
Oh, certainly, sir. Jackson, is Miss Wayne a... Susie, how charming you look.
Thank you, Mr. Frank.
Well, I hardly know you, but I'm forgetting my manners. I want you to meet Major Dunbar. He's an old family friend and an expert on Paris. Susie, I think we can count on a large evening.
My dear, I'm honored to have the company of such an exquisite lady.
Oh, you're both so kind. And I'm so very excited. You know, I'm having my first Paris adventure, Major Dunbar.
No.
In fact, my first adventure anywhere.
Well.
You won't mind if I can't keep my excitement to myself?
Well, of course not.
Think, I have two escorts.
Susie.
Oh, Mr. Frank. Flowers for me?
Mm-hmm. From both of us. Isn't she a vision, Major Dunbar?
Oh, no, you're more than kind. Do you really think that anyone would notice me?
Even a blind man. You're adorable, my dear. And now, may we whisk you away?
I'm sorry, but I have a message I must give Mr. Thompson before I go out. Oh, just a little business. Will you wait for me in the lounge?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I think I'm a little in love with you both.
Careful, Miss Wayne, or you'll have a duel on your hands.
Hurry along, Susie. Don't keep us waiting too long.
As her escorts depart, Susie glances quickly around the empty office, listens for a moment in the direction of Schuyler Thompson's bedroom door, and then walks to a mirror hanging on the opposite wall. She climbs up on a chair, looks at her feet and ankles in the glass. Suddenly, she hears a sound from Thompson's bedroom and jumps quickly to the floor.
What? Why, Susie?
Oh, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson, I want to apologize for not letting Miss Fry see you today.
Who? Well, let's forget about that. But, Susie, is this the new evening gown?
Yes. Do you like it?
It's very effective. Very. How it changes you. And those pretty round little arms. Why haven't I ever noticed them?
They've always been covered before.
Do they feel as smooth as they look?
Oh, I don't know.
I wish you weren't going out.
You yourself asked Mr. Frank to take me.
Yeah, so I did. What a fool I am sometimes. Susie, come over here by the window. I want to show you Paris. It's beautiful in the moonlight.
It's singing, isn't it? What does a city sing about?
On a night like this, it must be a love song.
I suppose so. Oh, pardon me for brushing against you. It was an accident.
Don't apologize. It was delightful.
Oh.
Susie, dear.
Oh, no, you mustn't. I feel so dizzy.
You darling.
Did you really mean that?
I'll show you whether I mean it.
Oh, no, Mr. Thompson.
Please, please.
Oh, please. You mustn't. You frighten me. Let me go. I didn't mean it. I didn't.
There. There's nothing to be afraid of. Please, dear.
Oh, no. You don't understand. I'm so ashamed.
Dear little girl, why should you be ashamed? You haven't done anything.
Oh, yes, I have. It was all my fault. I'm to blame for it all.
You're to blame for my trying to kiss you?
Yes. She said I was just a machine, and no man would ever notice me. So I tried it, just as she says she does. I leaned against you, accidentally. I protested. I got dizzy. I closed my eyes. I almost got kissed.
What? Why, you little devil, who told you all this?
Dolly Fry.
Experimenting with Dolly's rules. You little imp.
Oh, I hate myself. It's so cheap, so common. I should think you despise me.
I adore you.
Oh, no. You never thought of me as a woman until I made you do it.
But women always open men's eyes.
Well, I don't. I'm not satisfied to sneak into a man's arms and be kissed just because I happen to be there. That's too easy for him. I want a man to climb mountains just to get to me. I want him to pass by all the other women and kick down a door to kiss me.
Susie.
When I love a man, he must ache and long for me. Only me. He must be hungry and thirsty forever unless I come along. I, Susie Wayne, no other woman on earth will do. That's the sort of love I want.
I'll show you what's wrong. Now, who the devil is that? Oh, Frank.
What's keeping you, Susie? Oh, hello, Skyler.
Oh. Hello, Skyler. Can you join us?
Yes, Major. I think I will.
Oh, no, you can't. You have an important engagement with a lady at 9 o'clock.
Huh? Oh, that. Well, I'll break it.
Of course. But you have a lot of other engagements, too. Look, here's your calendar. At 8:30, the Count von Walsberg. At 9, Monsieur Pinchot, Monsieur Clichy. My, you'll be awfully busy at 9. At 9:30, the gentleman of the press, and at 10...
Now, what the devil is this? Who made all these appointments for me?
Why, you told me you didn't want people kept away from you.
Why, you know...
Well, let's get started, Susie. Have a good time, Skyler.
Yeah. Yes, have a pleasant evening, Mr. Thompson.
Cheerio, Skyler.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I'll be damned.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and Skyler Thompson has had an extremely disagreeable evening. Since the last of his official interviews ended at midnight, he has done nothing but fidget, glancing frequently out of the window at one end of the room, which overlooks the street. It has not been the night of celebration which he planned.
Hello. Oh, hello, Dolly. I know a lot of things came up, and I just didn't get a chance to call you. No, it's too late now. It's the third. No. I've got a big job still ahead of me before the night's over. Goodbye.
Come in.
Well, Major.
Hello.
What in the world have you been doing all this time? Where the devil is Susie?
With Frank. I had to stop. I couldn't keep up with them. I'm getting old, I'm afraid.
Well, where is she now? Where did you take her?
Oh, everywhere. Cafe after cafe. She danced, she sang, she was wild with excitement. And then we drove in the Bois in one of those open cabs. She jumped out and dared Frank and me to race with her. Like an elf, she started to run and Frank after her. Of course, I was left behind.
But when was this?
4 hours ago.
Susie alone with Frank in the Bois. You should be ashamed of yourself. Why in the name of... Oh, come in. Oh, Frank. Well, where's Susie? Isn't she with you?
She ran away from me. I've been looking for her ever since. I thought she'd be here.
A fine pair of cavaliers. Leave a girl like that alone in Paris. I don't think she has a penny either.
Well, she didn't need her.
Now, both of you go and find her and bring her back at once. Each of you take a taxi. Drive through the Bois from different entrances. Now, will you go? Will you get out?
Oh, all right, Skyler. Don't worry.
Worry?
No. Keep calm, old
man. I am calm! Now, get out of here. Hurry up. Go on, both of you.
Right.
Good Lord, you idiots. Oh, I wonder where Susie can be.
Where on earth have you been?
Heavens, I've been terribly worried, Susie.
I've been in my room since a little after midnight.
Oh.
I tried to write to my mother, but I couldn't. You know, I think Paris has gone a little to my head.
To mine, too. Susie, how do you feel now?
Excited. Wonderful. I feel so free. It was marvelous in the Bois. The moon was shining, a And all around were the woods, dark and mysterious. But the lovers there, with their whisperings and their kisses, I couldn't bear them. I had to come back.
So tonight you thought of love, perhaps for the first time. Is that it, little mouse?
Until now, I've known only the hunger for food. The delicatessen windows held all I wanted. But now I'm well fed, and I'm still unsatisfied, for I know that I really have nothing.
What do you want, Susie?
Oh, something beautiful. Something I can see through the window of life. At first, I thought I only wanted to look on, but that isn't enough. I want to be in it. I want to be of it.
You're finally awake, Susie. You see ahead of you a new world. A world full of unexpected joys. It needs only one word. One step. One kiss.
One word. One kiss.
Susie, you know that you have lovely feet and ankles.
Oh.
And wonderful eyes. So deep that a man could drown in them. And what a mouth. Will you take a telegram, Miss Wayne?
Why, certainly. Ready?
Well, a dear child.
Dear child.
You'll never know what a struggle it's been for me to act as I have. Comma. But I wanted to be quite sure before I told you what was in my heart. Stop.
In my heart? Stop.
Forgive me for not telling you openly and honorably, comma.
Faster.
For not saying at once, I love you. Stop. And now the address.
Please, the address very slowly. Spell it out.
Miss C-H-U-R-C-H-M-O-U-S-E.
Oh.
Oh, my sweet.
Oh.
What comes now, darling?
Stop. Stop. Ooh, stop.
This program is sponsored by the makers of Royal Desserts, who a little over a year ago asked American housewives to make a simple test, merely to smell their gelatin desserts as they added the hot water, and then to make the same test with Royal Gelatin. Many women who tried this test were amazed at the difference. At once, there was a big demand for Royal Gelatin. Women told each other about its delightful fragrance, its aroma of fresh fruit. And Royal Gelatin became so tremendously popular that within the past year, the sale of Royal Gelatin has more than doubled. If you have not already made this test, try it the next time you make a gelatin dessert. Add the hot water, then smell the rising vapor. With Royal Gelatin, you never get a trace of unpleasantness. Just the delicious fragrance of real fresh fruit. Strawberry, cherry, or pineapple, lemon, lime, or orange. Try several different flavors of Royal Gelatin. Get some tomorrow. Next week, Mary Pickford will be back again on this program in another great play. She wants to tell you about it herself. Miss Pickford.
Friends, next week we are planning to present Coquette, which you may remember was my first talking picture. We've already started rehearsals, and I'm happy to say Johnny Mac Brown is playing the hero, as he did with me on the screen. I hope you'll all be listening in for next Wednesday evening. And until then, good night, and God go with you.